Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Rabbi Jeremy Stanton.
Before I start speaking about the Haftarah today, Shalach Lecha, just the fact that there are three separate places that I've noticed in the Yalkut Shimoni, which talks about something we all know, and we're all totally sure of, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit Zayin Ador, and I'm not coming into the subject whether you say Tachnon or don't say Tachnon. In this particular building, I wouldn't dream of getting my thrown stones at me. But the point about it is, there are two paragraphs, one in the Yalkut Shimoni ala Torah at the end, and one in the Yalkut Shimoni on Yehoshua at the beginning, both of which tell us without the slightest doubt that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on the 7th of Adar. And that would seem to be the end of the subject. Were it not for the fact there's a second paragraph later on, which seems to bring other opinions on the subject. Tanya, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Aboim Yom Ochlu Yisrael Es Hamon. After Moshe Rabbeinu died, Klal Yisrael continued eating the mon for 40 days after Moshe Rabbeinu died. How does that work out? Moshe died on the 7th of Adar, so you've got another 24 days inclusive of Adar. Interesting how you get 24, because you'd have to have 7 to 30 to get 24. I'm merely telling you the facts. So 24 of Adar, 16 of Nisan, and that makes 40. 24 and 16. So if you've got an Adar with 30 days, which is a bit strange, but then there are no rules. So that's the simple point, that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on the 7th of Adar. Rav Elazar HaModoi disagrees. He says, Shivim Yom. They continued eating the mon for 70 days. Because we're told that from the 16th of Nisan, that's when they brought the Chodosh. That's when the Omer was brought on the 16th of Nisan. And then it says they ate from the new produce, Mimocharos. So they ate from the 16th of Nisan, they could eat the Tavur of Eretz Yisrael. But they'd had Mon for another 70 days. How do you get 70? It's an extra month. Rabbi Elazar HaModoi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was Niftar on the 7th of Adar Rishon. It was a leap year. So therefore you got Adar Rishon, which clearly does have 24 days. Then you've got Adar Sheni, which, strangely enough, only has 29 days. But don't ask me, I'm not going into this, I'm just telling you the facts. It says, and 16 days of Nisan. Right, so we're on the 7th of Adar Rishon. Rabbi Eliezer says, it wasn't a leap year that year, but still 70 days. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Shabbat. As I said, this is the Yalkut Shimoni. He's a Tanoim. Our Kabbalists, these are the Tanoim Kadoshim, who tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu was Niftar not on the 7th of Adar, but the 7th of Shabbat. Very nice. So that's three separate opinions. So you've got the 7th of Adar, the 7th of Adar Rishon, and you've got the 7th of Shabbat. Right? And there's one more opinion that says that Klal Yisrael ate Mon for 54 years. 40 years in the Midbar, and the 14 years of Kibbush v'Chiluk, while they were dividing up, conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael, they continued the Mon for another 14 years, and only when they'd settled down did they then start, or rather, not what they could do. Yes, they could eat the produce of the land straight away, but the point was then the Mon stopped. After another 14 years it stopped. I'm merely reading the words. You can take the words, look at the words. I can't answer questions on them.
I think
Arba'im Shana, yes, but it says 54. He says 54. Arba'im plus. Good. That's the Tanoim on the subject. Yes. So all the Tanoim, you ask questions on them. I'm just telling you what the Yalkut says. The Yalkut brings these opinions. Right. So, we have in this week's Sidra the spies sent by Moshe Rabbeinu, and 39, and you know what happened as a result? We stayed another 39 years in the Midbar. So then when it comes to going into Eretz Yisrael, Yehoshua decides to send spies, and I think the general opinion is that Yehoshua sent two spies privately. It was not known by Klal Yisrael that there were more spies being sent. Yehoshua saw what the problems had been caused last time, so he didn't tell anybody. He sent Kolev and Pinchas, two people he could absolutely trust, and he sent them quietly. He didn't tell them precisely where to go, where to go exactly. He told them to go to see Etz Ha'aretz v'Etz Yericho, see the land in general, see Yericho. But it seems to be the two are equal, the Mephoshim say. The go and see Yericho. Yericho will tell you what the land is like. After all, they weren't being sent on a trip all the way round Eretz Yisrael to come back on 40 days, 40 nights, etc. Nothing of the sort. They were told to go and see what you could see of the land from looking at Yericho. Yericho was a boundary city. It was a fortified city. You'll get enough information by just looking at Yericho. That's what they should do. The question is, when were they sent? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu, let's take the Poshup Shats. Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Ador, and there were 30 days of Avel Moshe. So the 30 days, again, you will have different opinions, as if you start counting one on 7th of Ador, when is the 30th day? So Rashi seems to be saying that the 30th day was the 7th of Nisan. So, and we find in the Psukim that Yehoshua had told the people to make 3 days preparation for crossing over the Yarden. That's what he told the people. So the spies were going independently of the people. It wasn't a question of, yes, we're going to do this and then we're going to do that. He didn't tell the people about the spies. So he told the people, as soon as the Avelus of Moshe was over, we're told that Yehoshua did not get any Nevuah. He couldn't get Ruach HaKodesh during the Avelus of Moshe. He was too sad. No Novi. Ruach HaShem can only come when a Novi is happy. And Yehoshua was in no state of receiving any Nevuah from HaShem for the 30 days of the Avelus for Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore it wasn't till the time was up that Yehoshua could get a message and tell the people, in 3 days' time, we're crossing over the river Yarden. Right? So, and they crossed over. The Posuk says, that is actually in the Posuk. Remember, the word Adar and Nisan you won't find in early part of Tanakh. You only find the first month. The Torah talks about the 11th month. We don't have the names. The names came from Bovel later on. So, the Posuk in Yehoshua says that the day they came up from the Yarden, which is presumably the day they crossed the Yarden, it was done in one day, and that was on the 10th of the first month. So the 10th of the first month was the time where they came out of the Yarden, 10th of Nisan. Everybody agrees on that, there's no machlokas on that whatsoever. So therefore, if there were 30 days of Avelus, and if Yehoshua gave orders on the 7th of Nisan, everything was done, nothing to do with the spies, that was independent. So the question was, when were the spies sent? So, with all the events with the spies, it would give the impression, says Rashi, and Rashi says the words, Al Korchi. You find that anywhere in Rashi. Find anywhere, please do. I haven't been to the. I mean, I can't tell you that I know Rashi on the entire Tanakh. But if Rashi is forced to say Al Korchi, you know what he's saying is I can't believe it. But it would seem that the order to the spies was made during the Avelus of Moshe. Everything else wasn't done till the end, but it could be. This wasn't a tzivui from Hashem. with the spies in the Torah, there was a tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to do it, do it. But here, Yehoshua was making his own decision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say to Yehoshua, send spies. It was Yehoshua's own decision. So in that case, he didn't need Ruach HaKodesh. It was a question of, he was the leader of Klal Yisrael. From the day Moshe Rabbeinu died, he was the leader. In which case, he made the decision that these two people, precisely these two people, privately, without telling everybody and making a big fanfare, they should go into Eretz Yisrael and come back. So Rashi says, Al Korchi. I find it hard to believe, but that's what they must have done. While the Avelus was still going on for 30 days, these spies were sent out. The Vilna Gaon disagrees with Rashi. Vilna Gaon says you can work out all the events. You see, you've got 3 days. They went, when they left Rochav HaZonah, they had 3 days in the mountains. Now, whenever you see 3 days, 3 days can mean 72 hours. But 3 days can also mean, let's start 3 days now. We're on Tuesday morning. By Thursday afternoon, it's already 3 days are up. That Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So you can often have 3 days in just over two. So the Vilna Gaon learns it, that the personal command from Yehoshua to the two spies took place as soon as the Avelus for Moshe was over. The Gaon says that if you start from the 7th of Adar, you end up on the 6th of Nisan, not the 7th. So it's the 6th of Nisan, first thing in the morning. That's Yom HaShloshim. And that first thing in the morning, the Gaon says Avelus was over. And literally, second thing in the morning, he starts sending the spies away, and they go straight to Yericho, etc. And with all the things that happened, they were back. Even though they spent 3 days in the mountains, 3 days in the mountains doesn't mean 72 hours. 3 days in the mountains can be done in less than 72 hours. And they were there, they were back in Klal Yisrael on the 9th of Nisan. And the 9th of Nisan, everybody went down towards the Yardane. And they spent the night, they camped by the night at the side of the Yardane, the whole of Klal Yisrael, on the night after the 9th, which we call the night of the 10th. And then first thing in the morning, they crossed the Yardane and came up to the from the Yardane on the 10th. So the Gaon has got no problem. The Vilna Gaon's got no problem by saying that everything was done between the Avelus finishing and going through the Yardane, no problem. But Rashi seems to have a day less. So with Rashi, he says that they must have been sent while the Avelus was still going on. Right. So, what did the Pasuk say? Yeshua sent two people, Shnei Anoshim Meraglim, two men as spies. Min Hashittim, there's Eved Hashittim, which was the other side of the Yardane, the place where they stopped. The last place of the 42 Masois was Shittim, and they stayed there, and that was where Moshe Rabbeinu went up Nevo, Har Nevo, and died, and therefore this is where Yehoshua took over, where he sent the spies from. So he tells them, go and have a look, Ru'es Ha'oretz V'es Yericho, as I said, see the land and see Yericho, because you'll see the best of the land from Yericho itself, that's all you need to do, and therefore, and you go in there. Now, then it says, Vayelchu, they went and they came to Beis Isha Zonah Ushma Rochav Ayishku Shama. They came to the house of a Zonah called Rochav, and they spent the night there. Interestingly, Yehoshua did not tell them to go to the house of Rochav HaZonah. In no way were they told. It was their decision to go there. The reason why the Pasuk doesn't tell us that these two people were the great Tzaddikim, Pinchas and Kalev, was because they went to the house of Azonah. Interestingly, Chazal tell us they were the great Tzaddikim, Pinchas and Kalev, because they got her to do Teshuvah. She became a Balas Teshuvah. She became tremendous Balas Teshuvah. She had been a Zonah. She was the most famous Zonah in Eretz Canaan for 40 years. We're told she was 10 years old when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, age of 10. She had been working solidly for 40 years. She was 50 years old when the two spies came to her. And she literally, she said she knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on our side. She knew that we were going to win. And she asked for everything from them. We're told she became a complete Baalas Teshuvah. She became a Gioris. Question exactly when she became a Gioris then. And then she married Yehoshua. She had 8 daughters. They had from together. They had the descendants. No sons, by the way. Yeshua didn't have any sons. He had 8 daughters, and they had Nevi'im were descended from them. Kohanim were descended from them. As I said, as far as a celebrated person, she really had a celebrated life. But she set an example that it doesn't matter what you've done wrong. Stand up and say what you've done is wrong. Change your way altogether, and she goes down in Jewish history as being a very, very great lady. But, the question is, what does the word Zonah mean? So, you've got, everybody agrees it comes from the word lozun, is to feed. Right. So, the Targum says on the word Zonah, the word pundakisa. Pundakisa is an innkeeper. So, simply, she had her day job was running a hotel. Right? Very simple. She ran a hotel. And presumably that would have catered for her night job as well. So nobody's denying. The Gemara in Megillah goes into great detail. You don't need me to tell me. Look at the Gemara in the first paragraph of Megillah and tells about what kind of a Zonah she was. She was a very beautiful woman, had a tremendous effect on men. But as a result, the reason they went there was simple. It was a useful place to go in the sense that there was the best known hotel in town. Think of it that way. Their whole point was they were cheresh, they were trying to do it in secret. They didn't want everybody to see them. How you dress up as a spy, I presume you dress up as a spy like everybody else in the town dresses up. You don't go around with a top hat on. You know, right? Who are you? Oh, I'm a spy here. We're going to conquer the place. They weren't trying to do that. So therefore they came to her house. They obviously, because they were two great tzaddikim, they behaved themselves impeccably. And they came in there. And the other point was, because she was so famous, anybody in the whole of the Middle East who was of any importance would be one of her clients. And men who were clients of such a woman would go and tell state secrets. And that was the simplest reason they went. Because they could talk to her, and she would tell them everything that they needed to know about the area, about the people. Literally, she was a walking encyclopedia. So she told them Wikipedia, whatever you want. So they came to her house. They came to the house, and they spent literally spent the night there. In fact, when the king sent messages to her, who are these two people who came to you? Her reply was simple: clients. That was what she said back. There are people who came to me for the same reason that everybody else comes to me. What's the problem? I didn't know there were spies. I don't ask people what they do for a living. So that's what she said. So message got to the king. King gets the message saying that these men have come to spy out the land. So whatever it was, I don't know. I haven't seen anybody who says how come anybody noticed them. Unless, literally, they must have looked Jewish, and they could be seen to be different to anybody else. I don't know, maybe that was the reason. So the king sends a message to Rochov, saying, these people have come to you, bring them out, they're spies, obviously we want to kill them. To which she took the men, and the Pasuk says, Vatitzpano, and she hid him. Not Vatitzpanaim. Simple word, and it's a clear difference between hid them and hid him. To which Chazal tell us, difference between the two of them, that either she hid them in a place that was so narrow that you would think that only one person could fit into there, so obviously there can't be two people in there. The very fact, if you take a cupboard, you take an area that's so narrow that only one person, you wouldn't even bother looking, because you wouldn't have two of them in there. So that they wouldn't even look for one of them. That's one pshat. And another pshat about it was that Pinchas with Ruach HaKodesh had the ability to act like a malach and to make himself invisible. So Pinchas could be standing there in broad daylight and you couldn't see him, whereas Kalev was nothing more than a human being, in which case Kalev was the one who had to be hidden. So only one person was taken to be hidden. And that's what she did. She took them, said, yes, the men came to me, v'lo yodati, and I did not know, I didn't know where they came from, because why should she know where they came from? She doesn't have to ask questions. She's not expected, it's not a job she has to ask questions. She asks what she wants to ask. So, she said they've gone. As soon as it got dark, they only came during the daytime, they came for what they came for, and when they'd finished, they left and they went off back where they were going. Obviously when it gets dark, because the city got locked every evening. At the end of the day, the place is locked. So therefore, obviously they went out. So you send your soldiers after them, they're probably going, if they're Jewish, they're probably going back to the Yarden, so run after them that way. Meanwhile, she's kept them on the roof. She takes them up to the roof, and she puts, it says, the Pasuk says, Vatitmanem, and she hid them, befishtei ha'etz, with stalks of flax covering over, on top of them, which she had laid out to dry the flax on the roof. So she put it over them, and as a result, nobody could see. And in fact, they were actually asleep, as the Pasuk says. They actually had gone to sleep, because they had total bitachon that it was perfectly safe. And they were certainly not anywhere they'd be expected to be seen. So therefore, they just simply, you know, good night. I've got, you know, tomorrow's got a day's work to do. So, v'anoshim rot v'achrem. So the soldiers chased them all the way down to the Yarden. They went to the place, the Marbaros, where they used to cross the Yarden. You know, obviously there are certain places easier to cross a river than other places. So they crossed over there, did whatever they could, looked all over the place they could. It took 3 days. So it wasn't safe to go back on the road, back to Eretz Yisrael, across the Yarden for 3 days. So the question, as I said, is what does 3 days mean? Right, so we say 2.5 days, then you fit all the time in. So, they chased after them. Now, nothing was going on in Jericho. Since all the soldiers had gone out of Jericho to go back in that direction to find the Yidden that way, so therefore, she then went up to the roof. She quietly trod on the flax, rather than shout, wake up, I want to talk to you. Now, she trod on the flax, made a slight noise, and that was enough to wake them. So then she started talking to them, which was when they were on the roof. Right? So, as I said, they had bitachon to go to sleep at all. There was nothing they had to worry about. So she says, I know that kinosan Hashem lochem es ha'oretz. HaKadosh Baruch has given you the land, and we're all afraid of you. Everybody is not only afraid, there are two things. We're terrified of you. And also nomogu. Nomogu is we've melted. So there's difference there. The Malbim says that she said she knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given us Eretz Yisrael because the people are awe-stricken by how great we are. When they hear about the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us, literally, wow, these must be incredible people that their God looks after them in such a way. So one is an awe. You look up to something because it is great. Not because it is going to hit me if I don't behave it myself. Purely the sense of Klal Yisrael are such great people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be so great that he looks after Klal Yisrael. The people knew that. And in addition, because they'd seen what we'd done to Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done to Mitzrayim, what we'd done to Sichon and Og, all these, literally our physical strength in beating our enemies. So it's two separate things. And that, she said, there's no doubt whatsoever, the people here are terrified of you for those two reasons. So, now, well, the Nais, we've heard about the Nais of the Yamsuf, and as I said, Sichon and Og. So the Nais of Kriyas Yamsuf could not have happened by a simple wind. Yes, the wind blows and blows storms all over the place. But Kriyas Yamsuf, we know about that. Every single Egyptian who came out got killed, and every single Jewish person got across the Yamsuf without any problems. That is a Nais. That's not just a freak storm. So we know that your God is on your side. There are no Egyptian survivors. And because there are no Egyptian survivors, it shows that your God loves you very much. He cares about every single one of you. Doesn't even leave a single enemy behind on the ground that, well, that one doesn't matter. He's okay on his own, I can't be bothered. Your God can be bothered. That's how she felt about it. Then she said, the Pasuk says, Vanishma, we heard, and we are, our heart melted. Velo komo od ruach ba'ish mipaneichem. It's an interesting phrase. Lo komo od ruach means literally business has been bad because of you. That's what she said. I can tell in my own business, men haven't got the same desires that they used to have. Because people are so afraid. Not Mitzrayim was 40 years ago. But Sichon and Og in the last year. And the people in my town here in Yericho just simply are not interested in the sort of things that I provide. Because they've got no mind for it. Their bodies won't respond anymore like that. So therefore, in my own world, I can see that people are terrified of you. And we haven't got a chance. And we can see that Ki Hashem Elokeichem Hu Elokim Hashamayim Mimar V'Loretz Mitochas. That's what the Pasuk says. Right. Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was impressed with what Rochav had said. And he says to Rochav Azono, you saw me, the way I acted in Olam Hazeh, more than so many people. I understand that you saw me here because you saw what happened to Sichon and Og. You see what's happening to the people around. But how do you realize that I'm so great in Shomayim? You've got Nevuah. And he gave her a bracha that her Nevuah would be greater than the Nevuah of Yechezkel HaNovi. And last year, which had Shavuos, Yechezkel HaNovi sees the Maaseh Merkava. Which Rochav Azono's Nevuah of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu was greater than the Nevuah experienced by Yechezkel HaNovi. Now the Midrash tells us that the Canaanim, they'd had a scorched earth policy. When 40 years earlier, when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim and went across the Yam Suf, they were unstoppable. And everybody knew where were they going to. They were going to Eretz Yisrael, going to Eretz Canaan. So the Canaanim were terrified of them. And they thought, well, if we're going to be thrown out of our own land, let's go and destroy everything. So we cut down all the trees, destroy all the crops, so when Klal Yisrael gets here, they'll have absolutely nothing to have for themselves. That's all we can do out of a spite for them. Scorched earth policy. What happened? We stayed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept us in the Midbar for 40 years. So in 40 years, everything grew back again. Everything went up. So now after 40 years, they're coming back. So what happens? So the Canaan, they've rebuilt their land and everything. But after Sichon and Og were defeated, they realize, oh, we were 40 years too early. They're coming now. But because they were, at that time, they had that sense of Yimas Lovavenu, they were so terrified, they didn't have the koach anymore to go around destroying the land that they'd done 40 years ago. So they left it as it was. So literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did both. He gave 40 years for the land to be rebuilt, and once it was rebuilt, he took away the koach that it would take to destroy it again out of spite. The miracle, talking about the miraculum in Shach Lecha.
In year two, we were talking about the
catalyst
of the
earth.
Presumably, everything was burnt.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, as I said, this is a midrash. So you're quite right. At that time, there had not been such a decision. It was still quite some time. If they thought that what happened to the miraculum this week's Sidra was a year later after this year's Mitzrayim. In the second year, it could be that they'd expected straight after Kriyas Yam Suf, we'd go straight to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe they expected to come in the next few weeks. And it could be it's been a whole year now they haven't come in yet. So it could be that they'd started rebuilding and wondered why the Jews are taking time. That's my own explanation. I haven't got
The crops would all be there, the trees wouldn't be there, but the crops would all be there.
Yeah, Enochanami. But we're told during that time. Why the Meraglim didn't say so? Maybe the Meraglim again weren't trying to. They were trying to frighten the people off going to Israel, not trying to encourage them. That shows how frightened the people are. You can always build things up again, right? If you buy my house, And you buy the land of my house. I don't want you moving in, so I destroy everything there. The very fact it's your land, you can chuck me out and start building it up again. It's only an irritation. That's all. You care, it's your house. If they know they're coming in, they can carry on doing things. I don't know. Let's continue. So, next point, Posek says, she asked them to make a shavuah. So the shavuah is, Shavu no li Vashem. I make a shavuah in the name of Hashem that I've done chesed to you, so I want you to do chesed to base Ovi. What's the chesed I've done to you? I've saved your lives. Yeah? It's not, you know, when a person does chesed, they don't say, you know, really I've done absolutely nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking after you the whole time. She says quite clearly, I have looked after you. I've done my bit. The king would have taken you. The king could have had you killed. I've done my bit to help you. So I'm entitled to something back. So, start off with the fact, she did chesed in saving their lives. So therefore, for them to save her life is not chesed back. That's repaying chesed. If I do you a favor, I invite you for tea today. It's only hakoras hatov if you invite me for tea tomorrow. That's hakoras hatov. That's not a question of chesed. Chesed is that you invite me again for tea the next day. You do something extra. That's a chesed you're doing to me. Merely hakoras hatov is not a chesed. You can't say, you did chesed, I did chesed for you. Hakoras hatov is to be grateful. So here what she's saying is, it's only gratitude that because I saved your life, you will save my life. What I'm asking for is chesed, save my family. As the Mephoroshim say, Rochav HaZona did not have a husband, and she did not have any children at that time. So therefore what she's saying is, who is her family? Her father's family. So that means whether her father was alive or not, she had brothers, sisters, descendants of her father. Those were the people she wanted saved. And we'll see that they said to her, as long as they come into your house, we make no other promises. If they come into your house, when we destroy the city, then they will be safe. If they go out into the street, they haven't got a chance. That's the only thing they have to do. There's no, if you think about the wife of Lot, the turning round and looking back was what killed her. So the same way here. If they come into the house, they'll be safe. Rochav had two houses. One was actually next to the wall, and one was actually in the wall itself. So in the wall itself, the wall collapsed, but the house in it did not collapse with it. So anyway, so she says, will you save my family? So they said they would. Once her father, her mother, her brothers and sisters, everything that they have should go into the house and they'll be saved. So the men said, yes, we put our lives in place of yours. In other words, if we do anything wrong, chas v'shalom, we don't keep our word. Chas v'shalom, we deserve to die. But as long as you don't go and tell anybody, that's quite clear. There's no question of you keep your mouth shut. In which case, we will save you. All right. And also, you don't tell anybody extra. We've allowed your family to come in, but you go and invite your best friend. By the way, I'm having a party next week in my house. Just come in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. No way. Only the people we've said, that's your family, and those people will be saved. So then she let them out, Bachevel, with a rope through the window, because her house, since I said she had two houses, so the one house near the wall, well, at the moment it's down night time, and the wall is locked. You know, the gateway is completely locked. There's no way you can get out through that. But she's got a window, and the window's actually in the wall itself. Well, I don't know how high up it is, 30 feet up. But 30 feet up is nothing. All she has is a rope. So she says, climb onto the rope and go all the way down. And that's the way she did it. All right. So she told them, go to the mountain. Otherwise, they'll catch up with you. Go and hide there for 3 days. That's where this 3 days comes from. The Pasuk says, go and hide for 3 days. So whether you take, Rashi takes 3 days or 72 hours, and the Vilna Gaon takes it, it's just over 2 days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is 3 days. Right, so they came, they went out, so the rope took them down, and she also had Ruach HaKodesh, the Mepharshim say, that for 3 days they will go hunting for you. After 3 days they will give up. Again, how does anybody know what's going to happen in 3 days' time? But she told them, I'm not worried, you'll be, literally, you just simply hide out of the way for 3 days and you'll be safe. Right, so then they made the shvur to her, and they told her to put a tikvas chut hashoni, to take a thread of red wool, scarlet wool, and hide it in the window. The idea being, what that colour red, Mepharshim say, im yu chatoichem kashonim, if you are a virus are like red, kasheli galbino, that goes white as snow. So that's why I put that one there as a remes to her, the tuteshuva for all she's done wrong over all the years, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive her. And we're told that she did teshuva properly, absolutely properly, for all the things she had done. As I said, what Shevamitzvah Bnei Noach, I don't know what she's done wrong. If she wasn't a married woman, then she wasn't doing, then it wasn't doing zanus. And if a man is married, a married man, and does zanus with we're talking about goyim here, not yidden. We're talking about goyim. A goy goes around doing zanus with a goysha zonah who is not married. I can't see what's wrong with it, according to the Torah. What's he doing wrong? If she's a married woman, then she's chayav misa and he's chayav misa. But anyway, presumably all the things that she'd done, whatever it was, she did tshuva for the way she had been living, which was one that wasn't one accepted to the Torah as a way for Jewish people to live, and she became a gioris with Yehoshua as soon as she could. So, he says to her, they say to her, anyone who comes out of your door will be... Literally, their blood is on their head. Doma Barosho, Va'anachem Nekiyim, we have nothing, we're doing nothing wrong. So, they made two shavuos to her, two oaths. Chesed, they would save her family, and Emes would be to save her. The family will be protected if they stay in the house, but if one person goes outside, then there's no protection to the family. Nobody's going to be protected there. So, they put the scarlet thread in the window. They told Domo Barosho means that literally if anybody goes outside and gets killed, that's called committing suicide. That's the Loshon Domo Barosho. It's committing suicide. And equally, if you tell anybody about us, they mentioned again, Im Tagidi, Esther Reinuzer, then all promises are finished. No way. Right. So, she put the thread there straight away, for the simple reason that if she waited a week and anybody saw her doing it, they'd ask, why are you doing it? You see, the yidden are coming. Everybody could see when the yidden came along. And if she says, oh, that's interesting, I'm just, pardon me a minute, sorry, I've got to put a thread up in the window. So she did it straight away so nobody would notice while she did it. And then they left there, and they went to the mountains. They stayed there for 3 days till they'd seen the soldiers coming back. And then they went back to the camp with Yeshua. So they came down from the mountain, they went straight to Yeshua, they told Yeshua, Nos Nashem Biodenus Kola Oretz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given it to us, everything has been given to us, and the people are scared of us, there's nothing whatever to worry about, we're all going to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on our side, and we're going to win against them. So from Rochov's account, they told Yehoshua that we can see that the people are demoralized. They didn't interview anybody else. They didn't need to. She told them all the facts that they needed to have to realize what's happened in the last 40 years, and to know that, because everybody knows where Klal Yisrael is up to, everybody knows that Klal Yisrael is coming, everybody knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's track record, that we've got nothing to worry about, so the people in Canaan knew that it was only a matter of time. And they told Yehoshua that Rochab was genuine. And once he knew that Rochab was genuine, there was nothing to worry about after that. And that was the next thing. Carry on, Mr.